Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Freudian Slips here at Car Talk Plaza.
I bought my wife a Freudian slip for Valentine's Day.
I'm sure that went off big. With the matching, never mind.
No.
Well, listen, I had to mention this because this was a bona fide Freudian slip on the part of my brother.
Yeah.
Just a few days ago, I was reading my umpteenth piece of hate mail about the Puzzler and its various inadequacies.
Yeah.
You know, people were berating just the lack of creativity and imagination. And there I was, feeling kind of morose and sad and ready to give up the Puzzler. And I expressed this to my brother that I was really depressed, that I really wasn't doing the job with the Puzzler anymore. And he says to me...
Yeah.
You don't remember
this. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, this is an ultimate Freudian slip. He says to me, keep your chins up. I say, now I know I've had a few too many kielbasa bombs off the coffee truck, but keep your chins up? Chins?
Where did this conversation...
You see, you forgot it already. It's a true Freudian slip. You said it and you forgot it.
I did.
Keep your chins up.
Keep your chins
All right.
I said that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, and it's all right. It's all right.
Really?
Yeah. Well, where
were we when this conversation?
You don't remember it at all, huh?
And I have no recollection.
We were in the green room preparing for the show, and there I was reading all my mail, saying, "Oh, another detractor, oh, but another person who hates the Puzzler, another one thinks I'm a moron." Jeez, oh
keep
man,
your chins up.
I keep your chins up, bro. All right. If you'd like to call us about your car or your Freudian slip or Freudian girdle or whatever, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Libby from Loveland, Colorado.
Libby from Loveland. That's good.
So what's up, Libby?
Lovely Libby from Loveland, we might say.
Yes.
That's right.
Lovely Libby from Loveland.
We have Tommy's favorite car. We have a 1976 Dodge Dart.
That is not my favorite car.
It's not.
No.
It's among his favorite cars.
No,
among.
It is not. It is not even among my favorite cars because I happen to own a Dodge Dart, but that doesn't mean the 76 is among anyone's favorite.
Right,
the 76 Dodge Dart was among the worst cars ever made in this entire planet.
And you know that, Libby, don't you?
She knows
don't.
That.
Really, it's been a good car for us.
It's been a good car.
Impossible.
Well,
where's the rust?
Let us find out where Libby's coming from, as they used to say in the 70s.
Okay. The problem we have is we have a vibration noise. We think it's coming from the back of the car. It's kind of a whirling sound, a droning. Mm-hmm. A vibration?
I know what that is.
You what know
else?
What that is.
Just give us them in order. We'll send you our response via the mail.
That's the only problem we have with it.
It's the only problem you have?
Now, I'm going to see if I can reproduce the noise that you get from the back. And I trust it. Is it worse at high speeds?
It's louder at high speeds, but it doesn't...
Does it diminish if you're traveling at high speed and take your foot off the gas?
Right. As we slow down, it slows down.
Yeah.
But it's always there. No, the noise is more...
Oh, that's good.
Not really.
I was just clearing my throat in preparation for the actual noise.
As lovely a lady as Libby from Loveland is, she's giving us all the wrong answers. How about this, Libby?
It's not as high-pitched as that. It's more like a...
Oh, it is. Okay. It is, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, like that.
But when you go faster, the pitch doesn't go up?
No.
The pitch stays... It just gets more frequent.
You have a bad tire.
A bad tire.
We believe so.
Absolutely. That's good. I'm glad you described it. You didn't give us all the wrong answers. You described that perfectly.
That's what it sounds like.
That's exactly it.
But we checked the tires, and they don't seem to have any.
Well, how did you check them? What did you do? Take blood pressure? Throat cultures? What did you do to check them?
Well, my husband checked it to see if it had any irregular wear on it.
And does your husband have a pocket protector?
No, but he's an engineer.
That's enough.
Now, it's very, very hard to check tires. I mean, sometimes it's possible to see some things on tires, like you might put your hand over it and feel lumps or you might feel a bubble on the inside wall, or you might feel that it's really worn out on one side and not on the other. But very frequently, tires are defective or in bad shape, and you can't tell. Mm-hmm. And what's happened is that the plies, the different layers of rubber and whatever else is in there, have separated inside the tire. And what happens is they make this characteristic sound of woo, 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 woo.
Well, so, when you find out that it isn't a tire and your husband is right, the next most likely thing is a bad axle bearing.
Exactly.
Yeah, we thought maybe that might be what the problem was.
Well, what to do is take the tire off and put it someplace else in the car.
But what if we don't know what tire it is?
Move them all.
Take the two rears and put them in the front and see if you can change the dynamics of it.
Right.
Okay.
If you put the two rears in the front and the two fronts in the rear, see if the noise goes with it.
You may even notice a front-end shimmy when you do that that's worse than the one you already have that you hadn't noticed before this.
Right. And if the noise stays in the back, then it probably is an axle bearing, which is very hard to distinguish from a bad tire.
It's the axle bearing. I think your husband's right. See you later, Libby. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. So long, lovely
bye-bye.
Libby from Loveland.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, I'm Kevin. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Kev.
What's up?
Hi.
Well, I have a 1984 Pontiac 6000 STE that has the electronic instrument cluster.
Oh. So it has a digital display?
It has a digital speedometer.
It had, at least.
It has bar graphs for fuel and oil pressure, temperature, and so forth.
Yeah.
And I have an inoperative fuel gauge. And the rest of everything else works fine.
Oh, it does.
Had my mechanic work on it, and he came to the conclusion that there was one of three things that was wrong with the fuel.
Yeah, what are they? Want us to pick? We'll have a one in three chance of being right, and that's better than we usually have.
Well, he says the problem that he's got is he doesn't want to work on the car because he says since he doesn't know what's wrong, everything is special order, and he says it's be really expensive.
Oh, this guy's a wimp. It never stops us.
Everything in the world is special.
If we stopped it when we didn't know what was wrong.
You'd have nothing to
I'd
do.
I'd be done at 9 o'clock every morning. Because after I put my uniform on, that's the extent of my knowledge.
Wait a minute. How long has this guy been a mechanic? I mean,
well,
is he new at this?
He's been working on my cars for
years. Or is he just burned out? He's shell-shocked. He doesn't want to take any chances.
He may be burned out. If it's any more challenging than a lube, oil, and filter, he might be done for.
That's pretty good. If he doesn't know what it is, he's not going to take any chances on somebody else's car.
No, he's...
How else is he going
to
learn?
He says it's a sending unit.
That's my vote.
Or he says it's the gauge itself.
That's not
my
vote.
No.
It's the circuit board that the gauge is attached to that runs all the gauges back there.
Right.
No, it's not that.
It could be, but if it were that, then the other gauges wouldn't work either.
Right. Well, all the other gauges work.
He left out the fourth possibility, which you should pray for, and that is a bad connection. I mean, the two of the three that he gave, only one is viable.
If you didn't live in L.A., I'd say that the bad connection was a very likely possibility.
Why? There, I know you can't make any bad connections in L.A. Everything's hunky-dory.
I missed three planes in L.A. once. I'd call those bad connections. No, because in the great frozen north here, we have rust as a factor.
Right.
And salt that they put on the roads.
Don't get me started on salt.
We'll get to talk about that later. But in California, in Southern California, at least, you don't have that problem.
Right.
So you probably do not have a bad connection.
That doesn't mean that a wire couldn't have fallen off. Here we are. This is what, an 84?
Yeah.
This answer is going to knock your socks off. Have you had the exhaust system worked on lately, Kev?
No.
Ah, damn.
No, that was about 40,000 miles back.
Okay, then it's not a connection.
No, you need a new fuel tank sending unit.
That's right. So
should take this to the dealer.
Bring.
What? Take it to the dealer?
Well, nah.
You can have.
You obviously can't go back to Frederico there of Hollywood, whatever his name is. So you're going to have to take it to someone who's got guts and is willing to drop the tank and put the sending unit in.
Okay.
That's what you need.
This will cost you. I'm going to give you a round figure. $137.89.
Oh, we had floating your grandmother that you haven't seen in 40 years, but now back she goes over by a nickel. It's going to cost you over $100.
Yeah, $137.
But if you
would have
run out of gas one time, you'd pay $500 to get this fixed.
Yeah, get a stick. You got a yardstick.
Yeah.
Yeah, just poke it in there. If it's not wet, you're out of gas.
I've been using the trip odometer so far. It works pretty well.
No, that helps, but that requires that you really use your brain. The gas gauge doesn't require anything except your eyesight.
That's right.
And you need to fix it.
Right.
Because you will run out of gas sooner or later. Guarantee it.
Well, and I want to sell it at some point, and I figure that I should sell it with a functioning gas gauge.
Yeah, that would be
nice.
Sure.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's a nice gesture. But have somebody put a sensor in.
I can see you're not associated with the automotive business, nor are you a lawyer.
Correct on both counts.
Thanks for your call, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Michelle.
Michelle, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Where are you from?
I live in Dallas.
Dallas.
Yeah.
One of our favorite cities. Dallas, New York. Oh, no.
Blasphemer. No. Dallas, Texas.
What's up, Michelle?
I have a friend, actually, who has a 1991 Hyundai Excel.
Yeah.
And when he steps on the brake, it's a stick shift.
Yeah.
When he steps on the brake,
stick
the
moves.
Radio station changes. And we're very confused.
What is this, wacko day here
at
Car Talk Plaza?
And I'd like to find out if you guys can explain why this is happening.
I'm sure that if I ask you a couple of simple questions, like the color of the car and things like that, my brother will come up with a suitably wacko theory to explain this.
Perfect.
So is this a red Excel as they all are?
No, this is actually a navy blue Excel.
Navy blue? I don't think I've ever seen a navy blue.
I won't be able to answer it. I'll just tell you right now.
When did the accident take place?
As far as he knows, he did purchase it a year old, but as far as he knows,
never had an
it
accident.
Has not been involved in an accident.
Okay, now, when he steps on the brake, the station changes. Does it always change to the same station?
It usually moves one station up the dial.
Now,
yes.
Okay, if he backs up and steps on the brake,
does
it move down?
No, it still moves up the dial.
And if he steps on the brake again, it'll just keep seeking the next station.
Yes.
It'll keep doing this all the time.
Yes.
What a great feature those Hyundais have.
Isn't it fun? Yeah.
It's a good way. I mean, other people have a button on the dashboard that you have to press. This way, you can do it with your foot.
Sure.
Okay, that's good. Well, thanks for the information, Michelle.
You had to have made this up.
No,
she didn't make this up.
I swear I'm not.
I mean, is he taking it any place to have any? He's not interested, right?
Oh, he's not. I mean, you know, he's a poor student, and he really can't afford to do anything out of it. It's fun, actually. I mean, you know.
It is.
Drive around, and people think it's real fun.
And it does it reliably? Every time he steps on the brake, it seeks the next station?
Usually, I mean, if he just taps the brake, it doesn't do it. But if he presses, you know, depresses it more than halfway, let's say.
Yeah.
So if the car is actually slowing down, in other words,
right.
If he was stopped and repeatedly applied the brake.
Ooh, that's a good question.
It probably wouldn't.
No.
Oh, so he got to be moving for this to happen?
Yes.
Yeah, and he installed this radio himself.
No, he didn't.
No, he bought the car secondhand and the radio was there already.
Right. It's the factory installed. It's the factory radio?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Well, I suspect, I mean, I don't know how radios work, but I think that what's happening is somehow he's interrupting the flow of current to the radio.
Okay.
I bet you when he hits that brake momentarily.
This sounds like a crock to me.
No. Momentarily, the flow of current to the radio is being interrupted.
Right.
And it's somehow triggering that seek.
Right.
That seeking, that homing pigeon instinct.
That makes perfect sense to me. Sure.
Something's moving. You know what's moving? I'm telling you what's moving. I'll tell you what's moving, Jerry. I know it's moving.
Yeah?
The antenna. The antenna wire
is. But that doesn't make it go to the next. I'll bet you this radio doesn't even have the seek feature. Does it?
No, it does.
It does.
It does.
Mm. I'm telling you. The signal's getting weak, and somehow or another, it's getting weak because the radio's
your brain is getting weak.
It's the motion. It's the motion. It's nothing to do with stepping on the pedal, per se. It's
motion.
It's the rapid slowing down, the G forces, the deceleration force.
Ah, okay.
Can we say goodbye now?
Sure.
Okay. I'm sure that somewhere in our great listening audience, there must be a couple of electrical engineers, and we will get an answer, and we will listen every week.
Electrical engineer has no more chance of figuring this out than we do.
No.
You know, here's how you're going to figure it out, Michelle.
Yes.
Reach up under the dashboard next time your friend is driving and see if you can touch the radio.
Okay.
And when he steps on the brake, I bet you if you're holding on to the radio,
uh-huh.
you'll get electrocuted.
Oh, okay.
This won't happen.
Oh, you think it won't happen?
I think maybe the ground is being interrupted by the motion of the radio, or the antenna connection is being interrupted by the motion of the radio from the braking.
You may have something there.
I may. I'm getting a headache. Then again, I may not. But try that, Michelle, and if that works, don't call us back because we won't be able to help you anymore. But at least you'll know that.
No, but actually, this is the way that we get people to listen twice, because right. We did a survey and we found out that no one had ever heard our show twice.
And if you just answer all their questions, there's no reason.
Tune in again. So this way, we don't answer a few questions at random. And then someone will write us with the correct answer, and you and your friend, now we get two listeners, who will listen again to find out what the real answer is from some electrical engineer.
Right.
Plus
and we need
all my friends and family, you know.
Yeah, plus maybe we pick up a few people just out of curiosity, and we end up with four or five people.
Sounds good.
Right. We have to hope that more of our listeners have kids, because kids listen to us, too. Good luck, Michelle.
Thanks much.
Thanks for your call.
We're
going
to go for the extended families. And maybe, what if there's some like a rest home or something where all the old folks are sitting around listening? They're going to tune in next week. We could be up to like double digits.
We could be.
We could have 25, 30 listeners at one time.
Hey, do you remember last week's puzzler by any chance?
Do I remember last week's puzzler?
Not even the foggiest, huh?
No.
I didn't think so. Well, I will tell you that it's a very high caliber puzzler. And I'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
300 miles to Winnemucca. I drive a van, I'm no trucker. Driving 80 across the basin. It ain't pretty, that's what I'm saying. Pass wind over to Pecan Pass. Right past where you can rent a lass. On to Elko, moving fast. I got my fingers crossed the clear weather will last. I got the I-80 blues. Yeah, I got the I-80 blues.
And even though identity thieves immediately return everything they stole from us whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hi, this is Morning Edition co-host David Greene, and the truth is, I don't even like cars, with one exception, the cars you guys donate to us. Did you know that your old car can be turned into Morning Edition, All Things Considered, or Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me? Kind of makes you like cars, doesn't it? Turn your car into the programs you love. Here's how to do it.
For more information, visit the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program at cartalkvdp.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here, of course, to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Which, in the little interim, I actually remembered.
You did?
Yes.
Very good. Oh, here it is. During World War II, the common American foot soldier carried a rifle that used 30 caliber ammunition. Now, you may ask, what is a 30 caliber bullet? Well, I looked it up. I didn't really look it up. I had help. And it happens to be 7.62 millimeters. Now, when hostilities broke out between the United States and Japan, the Japanese hurriedly began to make rifles that would fire a slightly larger, that is, a 31 caliber bullet.
You would expect the French to be contrary like that, but not the Japanese. They probably had a different reason.
They did have a different reason.
I bet they did, man.
And the puzzler question, very simply, is why did they do that? Of all the calibers out there, why did they make a 31 caliber rifle? Well, one part of it I think is pretty obvious, and that is if they had to vacate a position and their ammunition were captured, it would be unusable to the Americans. What happened? Too big. Doesn't fit in the rifle.
That's right. Would stick.
But the other part of it isn't so obvious. If the reverse happened, that is, if the Japanese captured our ammunition, the smaller caliber bullet would fit in their rifles, and they'd be able to use our bullets to fire on us.
Oh. But their aim would be bad, right? Because if it's flopping around there in the barrel
anything,
of a rifle.
Is anything's preferable than throwing rocks.
Wow, now that is a great puzzler, and I know that we are going to get such a raft of mail.
Probably, but
it's just too simple.
I can take it.
We're gonna get mail from Hirohito himself saying 31 cal. What are you talking about?
We had those first.
We never made. That's why you guys made the 30 calibers, you jerks.
It may be true, but at any rate, For the purpose of the puzzle, it was good.
Whether it's true or not.
It made a good puzzle.
It's a great question.
Right. On the basis of the information you had.
Wrong or not.
Right, exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Do we have a winner?
No.
I didn't think so.
Shows no winner this week. We do. The winner is Andy Perala from Kamuela, Hawaii.
Kamuela. It sounds
Kamuela.
Like...
Kamuela.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hawaii.
It's actually Hawaiian for calm weather.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Kamuela.
As a matter of fact, my pal Dusty Chuck went to Hawaii the other day, and he sent us a postcard saying, I'm never coming back.
And I cabled him, can I have your table saw?
I wanted his Lexus. Andy Perala lives there all the time, and for having his answer selected at random from among the thousands of correct answers we got, Andy's going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can practically dress himself. I mean, as long as he only dresses from the waist up. Hey, he lives in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You don't need much.
Congratulations, Andy. Anyway, we'll have a new drug-related puzzle coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about anything you want. We do best with car questions, but barely. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Cindy from Wilmington, Delaware.
Hi, Cindy. What's up?
I've inherited a 78 Olds Cutlass that my dad enjoyed many fine and some not-so-fine cigars in.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you had any ideas of how I could get rid of years of cigar smoke.
Ooh.
I have an open box of baking soda sitting in my front seat.
Yeah, that's not powerful enough, is it?
And I have a container full of charcoal briquettes in my back seat. That hasn't done the trick.
Yeah. What kind of upholstery does it have?
It's a fabric.
Oh, what a shame.
Isn't that wonderful?
Ew.
Well, we know that smoke rises. So most of the aroma is probably in the headliner.
Well, it is true that probably most of it is up in the headliner, but a lot of it is in the seats as well.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I would go, and the briquettes are a good idea, but they're not going to work, because what you need is activated charcoal of some kind,
mm-hmm.
and the briquettes aren't.
Like odor eaters.
Yeah. I would take a bunch of odor eaters, which are also activated charcoal.
You may actually be able to buy activated charcoal in some other form other than odor eaters.
I don't know where, though.
Odor eaters are those things that you
that
put
my
in
brother puts feet. In his sneakers.
You put in your shoes so that your family doesn't pass out when you take your shoes off after
so
a hard day.
I'm going to put these things for your feet on the roof of my car.
Well, you can put them in. You can just sprinkle them around every place. It'll make a good conversation piece.
Well, I mean, you're going to put them there for a while until the smell goes away. I think you can actually get rid of the smell.
Well, you know, there are two philosophies here at work. There are two plans of attack. One is you can try to eliminate the smell.
Mm-hmm.
That's plan one.
Yeah.
Plan
right.
two, which is often easier to accomplish, is to just overcome the smell with a stronger, yet more...
Oh, no, 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 no. That never works.
It never works.
God, that never works.
No, why do they make perfume and cologne? Of course it
Not
works.
Not for that reason. That's only automobile mechanics do that.
No,
you know
no.
how the guys in the garage take a shower? They sprinkle aftershave lotion all over their bodies, and they think that covers up all the other smells.
Well,
that doesn't work.
It certainly improves.
It works for 12 hours.
It does indeed.
It does.
And then you smell again.
Well, if you spilled a bottle of perfume in this car, expensive perfume, you would smell it for the next 25 years.
And it would make you so sick.
It would have to be a perfume that you liked.
I would try one of these techniques like the odor readers. And if it didn't work, another thing you might want to think about is replacing the headliner, which is not all that difficult.
I hadn't thought about it being in
Do you like any of the Elizabeth Arden fragrances?
Right.
I would go for one of those. But there are products, in fact, that are designed like activated charcoal that you can probably scrub the upholstery with. You want to go to an auto detailer, someone that cleans cars.
Oh, yes.
Okay, and ask them what they would do, because they run into this all the time. And then you can buy a can of aerosol spray new car aroma.
Yeah, also there is a product called Simple Green.
Simple Green?
Yeah, and what it does is it's for cleaning the upholstery.
Oh, okay.
Simple Green.
Right.
Does it work? How would I know?
Well, we don't know, but we have it on good authority that it works.
But I think if you leave the windows open as much as you can, and do all these things, you'll get rid of it.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you'll get used to it.
Or you'll get used to it.
Or
right.
It'll remind you of dear old dad.
Sure.
It only has 39,000 miles on it. So
it is well worth
39,000 miles and probably that many cigars, too.
39,000, that's right.
Okay, I'll try those things.
All right, Cindy.
Good luck, Cindy.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is John Cullen from Fort Buchanan in Puerto Rico. How are you?
Fort Buchanan?
Yeah.
What's Fort Buchanan?
A little tiny Army base.
Yeah, and what are you guys doing there?
We got a little helicopter unit down here. So
and you're working on your tans?
You got it.
Somebody obviously told you.
That's tough duty, huh?
It's paradise, but, you know.
Someone's
going
to do it.
I have to call you for maintenance on my car because the people that do maintenance here are absolutely terrible.
All right, well, we'll see if we can help.
I have a 96 Pontiac Grand Am, which actually has been a really good car, and I've been real rough on it. But I'm having some transmission problems now. I've stayed up on all the maintenance, and being a helicopter mechanic, obviously I'm qualified to break anything that's not a helicopter.
Go ahead.
So the transmission, when I put it into drive, it shifts up normally. And as I drive around, the shift from first to second is intermittently very rough. And then the rest of the time, it drives fine. No drop in gas mileage, no strange noises. The filter's been changed. The oil's been changed.
Is it worse if you're really laying on the gas pedal heavy?
It's better. If I take off, it shifts smooth every time.
Right. But if you just floor it off the line.
Right.
And it's
okay.
Well,
not floor it, but...
Well, you know.
I
mean, as much as you can on a small island. I mean,
right.
You might go around
without
the other
going
side.
Off the end.
Right. I mean, you might wind up in the water.
So if you start off slowly, then it's more likely to be a rough shift.
It comes up real high, and then it slams into second, and it's crazy. And now, since I did maintenance on it, now when I put it in reverse, the speedometer jumps up to 10 and then kicks back down almost every time. But it doesn't move the car. There's no strange noises. It just now it seems to be doing that now.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Well, that is interesting.
Put it in reverse and the speedometer moves?
Yep.
Ah.
You don't have access to any diagnostic equipment besides the hammers and chisels that you're using to fix the helicopters. Right?
Well,
you don't have a scanner or anything like that.
You could
requisition one, couldn't you?
Yeah, I wish.
Well, in that case, here's what I'm going to suggest. The one piece of information you inadvertently gave us, not inadvertently, but maybe not on purpose, was that the speedometer moves when you put it in reverse. And I think you could have a bad vehicle speed sensor because the vehicle speed sensor is what tells the computer when to shift the transmission.
Okay.
It's one of the things it does.
Would that not affect the rest of the gears? Because everything else is just, it shifts just fine.
It might not. I mean, maybe it's only bad in one little range.
Okay.
Try it. I mean, they're cheap.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to be able to get one, or you got to have to make one?
Well,
I know in the Army never buys anything. If they need a bolt that they can go to the hardware store and buy for 6 cents, they'll have four guys working on the lathe, the milling machine. You drag the Bridgeport out, soldier. We're going to make this bolt. So you might have to make one.
I absolutely cannot argue with anything that you've just said.
Well, they got a lot of guys and with too much time on their hands. And there's only, you know, so much tanning you can do when you're there.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of flying, too, so we are earning our pay.
Well, you're protecting us, so we appreciate it. Thanks,
yeah,
John.
Yeah. Hey, just before I let you guys go,
yeah,
I've been to a lot of different places, and I got to tell you, I'm originally from New York, and I usually make the trip from – I used to be at Fort Drum and drive down to my house in Rochester and spend time with the family and listen to you guys on Saturday morning. But I have been to Bosnia and Germany and France and all over Europe and now here in Puerto Rico. And everywhere I've been, I have managed to, on a Saturday morning, pick up your show. So it's kind of like a little piece of home. And both of us that actually listened to it all those times.
You had to spoil it, didn't you? You had to spoil it. It was going great.
I couldn't get anybody else to go into the tent and listen to it. Why is this guy laughing so much? I was like, whatever.
Hey, you know, I was once stationed at good old Fort Drum.
Yeah, it was called Fort Ticonderoga then.
No, actually, it was called Camp Drum.
Camp,
then.
All right, because they didn't have lights.
Yeah.
Well, John,
yep.
Good luck with your grand dam.
Hey, it was great talking to you guys for the first time.
Thanks.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Both of us will listen to it. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278.
Wait a minute. Everyone will go on pass this weekend except John from Fort Buchanan.
8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brenda from Oakland, California.
Hi, Brenda. Yeah.
I have a car-related relationship problem.
Ah,
yes. We should have called last week.
Sorry, we can't be bothered with this relationship crap this week. Call
it's
us next
serious,
year.
Though.
Is it serious? All right, we'll take it then.
All right, what's up?
Okay, I've always driven cars with automatic transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had any reason to learn how to drive a stick. But yeah. Recently, I've been thinking about asking my boyfriend to teach me how to drive his car, which is an 83 BMW.
Oops. 83?
However,
yeah.
I'm worried that if I let him teach me how to drive a stick, it will introduce certain tensions into our relationship.
You ain't kidding.
We might just end up killing each other.
There you are. Not might.
But the other problem is that right now, my car is in the garage and his car is in front of, in the driveway. So every time I want to go out, I have to ask him to move his car.
Do you live on a hill?
No.
I mean, that could end the relationship real fast.
If the only reason you want to learn how to drive the stick is to back the car out of the driveway.
Oh, no, she has other motives. I mean, you really want to learn how to drive stick shift, don't you?
It would be a good thing to know, I think.
Well, I mean, you could, if you mentioned this to him, if you asked for lessons.
Yeah, he's not eager to teach me because he knows.
He knows you're going to burn his clutch out.
Yeah.
Why don't you just pay him for the clutch in advance?
It'll be a challenge to him to teach you to drive correctly. Now, I have taught many people to drive stick shift. One of whom was my wife, who's a very good driver, but was reluctant to drive it. And in a half an hour, under my expert tutelage and guidance...
She burned out a clutch.
No, she melted the clutch of my Colt Vista. No, she learned to become an expert manual shift driver. A few simple lessons.
Oh, that's encouraging.
No yelling aloud. That was her first requirement. She said, "You yell at me, I'm getting out of the car."
Yeah.
You think I shouldn't let him teach me?
Well, I think so.
There is a danger. I mean, there really is a danger because some people have an aptitude for this and some people just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would know if you have the aptitude for this within about the first minute.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it, then he can call off the lessons. Tell him you do a minute-by-minute thing.
Okay.
Every minute, he's got the option of calling it off.
But to tell you, BMW clutches are usually pretty easy to work. And if there's a car to learn on, that's good.
Yeah, there's a very good one to learn on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A BMW's a nice clutch to learn on.
Okay.
And the nice thing about it is you won't even know that you're burning it out.
Yeah.
Keep the windows closed so you don't smell it.
And I would save this for like just when you know you're getting ready to break up with this guy. Save this little activity for those last couple of weeks. And then he can have the option. This is great, as a matter of fact.
Oh, this would be a good reason for him to break up with you.
That's right. You decide that you've had it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know how to say it. That's when you introduce this basic idea.
Mm-hmm.
Then you burn out his clutch as you're learning to do it. He gets royally ticked off, breaks up with you, and you say, "I'm sorry you feel this way, hun," and off he goes. Isn't that good?
Yeah, I can
That's
see the personal ad
plan.
Now. Single white SWF needs new BF with MS.
Good. Okay. Well, let us know how you make out with him, the car, the clutch, everything.
Okay.
I predict that within an hour, you will be driving expertly.
Yeah. Okay.
Or walking back to your apartment, one or the other. See you, Brenda.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're two-thirds of the way through the show. Do you know what that means?
Let's see. Two-thirds of three halves. Cancel the two. Cancel the three. Hey, we're done.
You're done, you knucklehead. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
Got a problem that you just might understand. It's something that policemen really do demand. It's a thing with the numbers and the official seal. Down in the bottom corner of my windshield. Ooh, baby. Ooh, my inspection sticker blues. Just that my tires are worn to the cords. And you know that horn, it don't blow no more. Those two rusty wipers that refuse to beat. As far as passing emissions, I don't think I would meet. Ooh, baby, I'm in all God's space.
And even though sumo wrestlers run full speed into their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Well, I think you'll like this. This is a recent submission from a guy named Scott Crass. And I like it because it's my brother didn't get it. Here it is.
Yeah.
Pay careful attention. You're placed on a medication regime in which you are to take daily one tablet of A and one of B.
Got it.
You got it? So you have two little pill, what do they call them, containers.
Yeah.
One says pill A and one says pill B. You must be careful. Taking two or more Bs can have unpleasant side effects or can even be fatal. In order for the B to
be
effective...
Does my wife know?
In order for the B to be effective, it must be accompanied by the A pill.
Yeah. So you gotta take one A and one B. That's
it. So you
it.
Open up the A bottle and you... As people do, you tap the bottle and one A pill kind of jumps out into your palm.
Yeah.
You open the B bottle and you accidentally get two Bs falling out of the bottle. But here's the problem. Mm. They look exactly the same.
Oh, they don't have little A's and B's on them?
Just on the container. But they're both
bummer.
They're both blue. They're the same size, the same weight. And as soon as they fell in there, they got mixed up. So now you have three pills, but you can't tell what the heck you got.
Oh.
How can you make... Now, of course, you could just throw these pills away.
That's what was my first thought. My first thought was, don't make this into a puzzle. Throw the pills away and start again.
But the pills cost $100 a piece, and you can't throw them away.
Yeah.
But how can you make sure that you get your daily dose of A and B without wasting any of the pills? Got
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I've okay. got it.
Well, you didn't have it earlier, but you got it now.
I got it. No, I understand the question.
Oh.
I can't remember the answer.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a stale Pop-Tart.
What a great idea.
Well, Pop-Tarts are pre-staled.
They're pre-staled. They are.
Yeah, you de-stale them when you pop them or when you toast them or whatever you do.
I never realized that before. I had one the other day. I don't like to toast them.
You could re-shingle your house with these. If you ever got enough of them on sale, you could re-shingle your house with Pop-Tarts.
Raspberry. You could have raspberry shingles.
Well, and the frosted ones, Dougie says, they're waterproof.
And they're pre-painted. I love it.
Anyway, since you're Pop-Tarts, they got to sue us. I actually do eat Pop-Tarts.
Well, I see one in the cabinet once in a while, and if I'm really hungry, I will eat it.
Well, they ain't considering, though, the unique chemistry involved in these. They're pretty good. And they last forever.
Yeah, although some of the packages still say, great for your bomb shelter.
President Eisenhower says.
Yeah, Ike says. I like Pop-Tarts. You may like Ike, but I like Pop-Tarts.
Anyway, send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
I was trying to remember the Puzzler. I forgot it already.
Or you can email your answer. Someone help me. I'm being held against my will. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us. Somebody please call quick. The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Felicia.
Oh, come on. Give us a break.
Wait a minute. We'll say it again. We don't want a spelling yet.
Celacia.
Celacia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd have to go C-E-L.
Celacia.
C-E-L-E-S-I-A.
It's pre-Greek, so that'll kind of, the spelling might be a little bit different.
K.
I got C-I-L-E-S. E-C-I-A.
Almost. It's S-A-L-A-C-I-A.
Oh, Celacia.
Celacia. Mm-hmm. And what, pray tell, this is a Greek name?
It's pre-Greek.
Pre-Greek. And, Macedonian.
Well, no, it's actually, it's listed in some of the Greek mythology books.
Oh.
It's listed as the 49th, or one of the 49 daughters of Zeus, goddess of the dolphin and mistress of the sea.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. What an intriguing name.
Well, thank you.
Cilicia.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Thank you.
And where are you from?
Macedonia.
Cortez, Colorado.
So what the heck do you want?
Well, I have a Mazda.
You do?
A 323 wagon. And I have, it's 1987,
mm-hmm.
and my problem is when I'm driving, like, between anything over 45 miles an hour, you know, between 45 and 65, the car weaves to the left, and it doesn't matter. I'll have more problems if the road happens to be grooved.
When you say weaves, you mean it leans, pulls to the left, wants to go left.
It kind of jerks.
Oh.
And it only does it in a left curve, and it doesn't have to be a sharp curve. It's more like a nice rounded curve that you should be able to take real easy.
Wait, I got to get this straight because I'm not sure I understand.
You're
driving along on the straight road,
okay.
And the road now curves gradually to the left.
Yeah.
You start to make that left curve, suddenly the steering wheel starts to jerk back and forth.
Yeah, the whole car does.
What's the frequency of this weave? Once every 5 seconds?
About once every 3 seconds, as a matter of fact.
So you get a whoomp, whoomp.
Yes.
Whoomp.
Yeah.
Ah, so it's a slowish kind of.
And if you began to go straight ahead, the weave would go away?
Yes.
Mm.
And I started to notice it because the stuff I have suspended from my mirror, you know, kind of like
it gets
going a good, pretty good rocking, you know. And
what do you have? What do you have hanging from the mirror?
Well, being a woman driver, and if I have a passenger in the car, you know, it kind of makes them a little nervous.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find out, you know, what's going with it. I've had tie rods changed, and I've had idler arms or idlers changed.
Do you have any pyramids hanging from the mirror?
Crystals.
Crystals. I mean, the pyramid shaped things.
No, I do have stones, but I don't have crystals.
Stones. What kind of stones are they?
Well, one is a leopard skin agate, and the other one is more in line of like a sardonicus.
Hey, would you have bought this car if it had leopard print carpeting?
Well, I was very no. Well,
no, huh?
I probably would have. It doesn't matter what the car looks on the inside to me.
Well, I mean, obviously, you've had experts look at this thing, and they have checked the tie rod ends, and they've checked the ball joints. And I would imagine if they checked the tires and found nothing wrong with it, at the very least, they would have rotated them.
Yeah.
Moved them to a different location.
Yeah.
Which, if not eliminating the problem, certainly would have changed it. And none of those things has yielded a solution as of yet.
Right.
No.
I mean, the symptom lends itself to something wrong with some part of the front end. But I assumed that since you had actually brought it to places that they checked all that stuff.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here
and say they didn't check it right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to guess it's something.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm going to guess that you have a bad axle.
Oh.
You have a bad axle. You have a CV joint that is binding up. And it is binding up when you're making a turn. And for whatever reason, I don't know, it can also bind up going straight ahead, but it's more likely to bind up when you're making this left-hand turn. You should ask them to, as an experiment, replace one of the axles, and if that doesn't help, replace the other one. And I bet you one of the two is going to solve the problem.
Okay.
And I would start with the right axle.
The right axle.
Would you?
Yes.
With the right axle?
Yeah.
The opposite axle?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm a contrarian.
Okay.
That's my position, and I'm sticking with it.
So you say I have possibly checked a CV joint that is blocked?
No, it's binding.
Seized.
Binding.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the easiest way to do this is for them to just buy a rebuilt axle from the parts house, slap it in there, and have you drive the car.
Okay.
And when you tell them that the problem is solved, you can pay for the axle. And if it isn't solved, they can take that one out and try the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it isn't solved, you can call back.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Okay, well then, thank you.
See you, Cilicia.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure to talking with you also. I listen to the program all the time. I love it.
Well, thanks.
So the two stones, let me get this again, are an agate?
A leopard stone agate.
Yeah, I can visualize it.
When you grab it, when you hold it in your hand, it puts, the legend behind it is that it puts positive energy into the body.
Oh, positive ions. Those things are infinite source of positive ions.
Definitely. We can always use a lot of positivity around here, especially Montezuma County.
And what's the other stone?
It's a sardonicus.
What is that?
It's a red type of a stone that when you look into it, it has depth. You can actually see depth to it. But it happens to be for a Virgo, and I'm a Virgo.
Yeah.
So I just kind of hang it around there for okay.
Do you happen to know a guy named Omian Aspiavados?
No, not at the moment.
No. Okay.
Well, he may be in your future.
All right. Thanks for calling.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ken from Richfield.
Hey, Ken.
From who?
Richfield. From Richfield, Ohio.
Oh, Richfield.
Yes. Obviously named by a bunch of German immigrants who were out in their field and said, gee, this is pretty good soil.
Oh, that's rich. Okay.
That's what it was.
Because of your intuitive minds and your vast knowledge of cars, and because we've just passed the Valentine's Day romantic bit, my thoughts have been turning to thoughts of spring and of perhaps getting back into the mating game again.
Yeah.
And based on my past, I haven't done a good job of picking mates. So I was wondering what kind of car should I be looking for, because the ones that they drove in the past, that didn't work, obviously.
Oh, so this is something, this is a ritual you do every spring, you search, what does your wife think about this?
ex-wives. I'm probably one of you there for the number of ex-wives.
Well, I don't understand the question.
Well, for example, the first one came with no car, but I would have to say that when she eventually bought a Gremlin, that was her car.
Yeah.
The second wife came equipped with Saabs.
Uh-huh.
And the third one came equipped with Hyundais. So I know to stay away from all three of those cars.
Really?
Oh, I see. You want to know when you see her car.
Exactly.
Will you know if she's the right one?
There you go.
Ah, no. Gee, that's good.
What do you like in a woman? Do you like teased hair, gum chewing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean...
That's good. I would go then...
Firebirds and Camaros.
Chevrolet Camaro.
Dame Donna, right?
And you'll... Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you should bring this up, because at this moment, we are working so hard. As you may know, we did a survey on our website. I can't mm-hmm. keep talking about the website, but we are constantly doing this survey. And included in the survey, in addition to all the bunch of questions about how long have you been driving this car and did you fix the brakes and blah, 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 all the usual boring stuff, we have a complete psychological profile. So we'll be able to give you a complete psychological profile for any make and model in the United States.
Well, I mean, I think that's what's necessary, because I think a car, I mean, we've always preached in this country that a car is a projection of your personality.
Of course it is.
And I just want to know, particularly, I guess, not only which ones should I look forward to, but also which ones I should avoid. And I think maybe the Camaros probably fall into that realm, that I should just avoid Camaros.
I would avoid Camaros.
Oh, so you think those gals are too fast for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Too
I think
fast
I learned
and too,
my lesson.
Too young. Too fast and too young.
Yes. Yeah.
What's the age group you're looking for?
Well, anything over legal. No, I think 20, 30, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so you must be, what, 45?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Teenagers are out, right?
Okay. Yeah. See, I'm a single dad, so I have responsibilities, so I have to look for someone who's, you know, probably good income.
Well,
you know?
I tell you, the only psychological profiles that I've looked at so far have been for BMW owners, and I would stay away from them if I were you.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And the other one was Toyota owners.
Huh.
And what we found out about Toyota owners is that they're basically pretty boring people.
Well, my beloved sister is a Toyota owner, a long-time Toyota. Of course, she's a doctor, so I guess maybe that goes with the territory.
Is she boring?
I don't want to say so if I'm going to live in the next 10 years.
Right. You've severed all other relationships. You better stick with the old nuclear family there.
And what do you want me to do, be childless all the time, be familyless?
Christmas
will
be pretty boring next year.
Well, I will get to work and work harder on these psychological profiles, because I realize now the importance to the world of these things.
This is a definite need.
It is, yeah.
I will tell you from my experience at the shop.
Yeah.
I have found that of the women that come to the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the nicest ones, you're going to say, are driving.
You're not going to say minivan, are you?
The nicest ones drive Toyotas and Nissans.
Mm. Okay, I'm writing this
low-end
down.
Ones, the cheaper ones, Tercel's, Corollas.
No kidding.
And one other, Subarus.
No.
Subaru owners, whether they're male or female, are very pleasant.
Well, if a young lady would pull up next to me in a Subaru, I know exactly what I'd say. I'd say, you want me to fix it?
That's good. Yeah, I can fix that for you.
I can take care of that limp. Well, Ken, it's obvious you have your work cut out for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we have our work cut out for us, too. So yeah. We're going to go right to the laboratory with Murky and see if we can work on this.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
See ya.
Good luck to you.
Bye. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Greater Winnetka Snowmobile Association's All-You-Can-Eat Pancake and Kielbasa Feast, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman, who is not related to our tailor, Euripides Imenides, or to our staff bouncer, Euripides, I Break Your Face, or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our credit counselor is Max Stout. Our assistant...
Max Stout, get it? Max Stout!
All right.
I like it.
Our assistant disciplinarian is Joaquin DePlanc. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Audovindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikov and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known to the pigeons with 800 SATs in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this, by the way.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
Good suggestion. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1508, download other time-wasting episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, try your hand at 10 of our hardest puzzlers ever, including Evil King Berman and the Three Boxes.
And the Magic Hat Puzzler.
And the Monty Hall Puzzler.
Which was so hard that we had to post a copy of a mathematical proof from the American Statistician magazine to quell the furor over that one.
And how did we quell the furor over the copyright infringement suit from American Statistician?
Shh! We just took the article down for a few weeks and now we put it back up.
Ah, our 10 hardest puzzlers for your puzzling pleasure all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though penguins go scurrying into the mouths of killer whales whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.